Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At the start of this work week, I thought, man, it is creeping along. And now here we are, last show of the work week. And don't look now, don't freak out. Inside of a week until Major League Baseball's opening night. Do you know this time next week, if they stay on schedule, we will have two baseball games in the books. Even if they go into extra innings because they're putting a runner on second base. Which I don't like, but whatever. I'll take it. I'll take whatever they give us. We could, in fact, have two games between Nationals, Yankees, Dodgers, Giants in the books. That would be cool. I'm trying not to get too excited over it, but the idea of actually talking about a baseball game this time next week, because I'm sorry, I'm not going to break down the KBO. Actually, I'm not sorry. I'm not going to break down the KBO. That's not happening here. It would be pretty cool to have one of the big four on the field, on the court, on the ice, on the tube with games. Now, we still have our poll about your excitement level in Major League Baseball, and so many of you have weighed in on our Facebook page. A lot of you are saying you're not interested. Maybe not that you refuse to watch, but that you're not interested. I venture to guess that this time next week, if I'm excited, you'll be excited. Many of you will be sucked in to watch, even those of you who say you won't. Oh, no, I think you will. How about those of you who've watched the KBO or watched golf or UFC or NASCAR or soccer, where maybe you didn't think you were interested before? We may never, ever see anything like this in our lifetimes. We may never see a season with this type of a tone, a tenor. The 60 games may happen again for some reason or another, but we may never see anything like what sports are going through. Well, what our society is going through, but the microcosm that is sports. We may never see this again. So for no other reason, that will suck people in. I'm confident. Even those of you who will begrudgingly watch or say you aren't interested, you're going to watch because it's a novelty and because it's what people will be talking about and you don't want to be left out. Isn't that why you watch Tiger King? Tell the truth. You weren't necessarily interested in Tiger King. And as you were watching it, you thought, what the hell? Why am I watching this? But you watched it anyway because, quote unquote, everyone was doing it. You know, that's what our society is like. When we hear someone else or a lot of someone else's, when it's trending on social media, we can't stand being left out. That's what's going to happen. It's the power of friggin' suggestion. And so this time next week, and yes, I'm feeling very salty right now. This time next week, you are going to be very curious. And if you manage to hold out on the first night, you're not going to be able to stay strong to your convictions, true to your convictions very long, because all your peeps are going to be talking about it. And you got to know what's happening, what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like.
Ooh, oh.
Thank you, Tony. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live, of course, as opposed to dead, from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. See what I mean? I'm salty. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. I'm glad to have you on board. Never a dull moment in this job, even when we don't have sports actually operating. We do now. Tiger Woods was back on the golf course on Thursday. How about that? I had a host meeting, a video conference call with my fellow hosts on CBS Sports Radio and our bosses. And of course, someone, I won't tell you which one, someone brings up Tiger and gives us an update. At that point, he had just started his round. So I was half out of it. My boss makes me wake up in the middle of the afternoon, actually not even middle, early afternoon for this meeting. And then after we go through a half hour and I'm trying not to close my eyes on the conference call, he says at the very end, "Amy, why are you so quiet?" I wonder why. Maybe because you made me wake up after 4.5 hours? That could be the reason. But at least I got updates. I was tempted to pull up the Tiger Woods round along with Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka on my laptop while he was talking, but I didn't. I figured I was too tired to pay attention to two things at once anyway. Thankfully, I was able to get back to sleep after that for a short time. But Tiger Woods teed off in his first event since mid-February, and he started out with 2 birdies on the first 3 holes. It was windy. It was blustery. It wasn't his favorite, but he is under par.
It's been a while since I've played and got to almost ideal start and got a feel for the round early. I just didn't make anything today. I made bookend birdies, but really didn't make much.
So Tiger Woods ends up, as I say, under par, -1. So he posts a 71 in his first round. He birdies 2 of the first 3 holes, but then bogeys 2 on the front 9. So he makes the turn it even. And then 15, 16, birdie, bogey, birdies his final hole, which was a par 4, and ends up 1 under par. Now, the wind definitely did bother a lot of people. So it was, like I say, it was really blustery. And Tiger even mentions that he wasn't necessarily prepared for that because that wasn't how it was when he was out at the Memorial practicing or at the course practicing. And so it's not as though there were no low numbers. Tony Finau was at a -6. He is alone on top of the leaderboard. Ryan Palmer, a shot behind him. And then a handful of other guys at -4, -3. Rory McIlroy at -2. And then both Brooks Koepka and Phil Mickelson are at even par, along with a bunch of other guys. So it's not like he's out of reach or that he's on some island by himself. I mean, it was a blustery wind that affected a lot of guys, but they've got one round in the books, and he's still standing, and he was able to get through it, kind of feel it out. What about the idea of no fans, though? Up until this point, it's been nothing but a concept for him, or maybe him trying to compare to other limited experience in the past, practice rounds even, which is kind of weird. But he was asked about his energy level with no fans out there on the course.
I definitely didn't have any issue with energy and not having the fans, reactions out there. I still felt the same eagerness, edginess, nerviness starting out. And it was good. It was a good feel. I haven't felt this in a while.
That's cool. Good. It's good to have him back out there. And I suppose even though we don't talk about it as much, every other golfer had that same feeling, that same edginess, maybe a little nerves when they started out after 3-month layoff, or in the case of Tiger going all the way back to February. So a 5-month layoff for him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Also on Thursday, James Harden started practicing with his Houston Rockets teammates and had the opportunity to share his enthusiasm, his excitement about being back on the court. Coach Mike D'Antoni said, yeah, Harden was rusty for all about 15 minutes. And after that, he was just fine.
been a whirlwind. Like, it's been so many things. I think every single day it was something new. It was something different that that hit the world, you know, hit the social media. You know, for us, I think it's bigger than basketball. But I feel like now it's a great opportunity to give the world something positive to, you know, look forward to. You know, with the racial, you know, issues going on and the COVID and everything, it was just a lot of, you know, craziness in these last 4 months. So hopefully with the NBA being back and give some positive energy, give the world something to look forward to as far as, you know, watching us play. And hopefully we can just keep moving forward.
So James Harden is now with his Houston Rockets teammates in the bubble, and they are also hurtling forward toward their reopening, their relaunch. It's not opening night, but it will be the start of these 8 seeding games for teams come this time in 2 weeks, right? So we've got a doubleheader in Major League Baseball scheduled for a week from tonight. We've got a doubleheader. I think that's what we looked up, right, Dave? That it was a doubleheader in the NBA coming up 7 days after that. So 2 weeks from tonight, and they will be on the court in Orlando, which will look even stranger. It may not sound any stranger than Major League Baseball in those huge cavernous stadiums with no fans, but the NBA will look weird because you're talking about empty arenas. And so I keep thinking about my experience watching soccer, where once you got used to the eeriness of the quiet, it was not terrible to be able to hear the athletes and the coaches all yelling at one another. And then even the initial golf tournaments or the initial NASCAR races, and what it was like to hear the noise of the sport in the case of NASCAR, or the sound of the sport in the case of golf, but not hear any reaction. So definitely a phenomenon that I'm still getting used to, and that took me a while in the case of watching golf rounds or watching NASCAR to kind of process. Golf, it's not that big of a deal until you have this incredible shot and there's no one there to celebrate, or when you have someone drop a big putt on a green, or the aerial views, because golf is generally quiet, supposed to be anyway. It's in the hole! And with NASCAR, you obviously have the engines that are drowning out the fans once they're underway in full speed. But there are pockets and periods where you think, wow, that's weird. Driver introductions, or as I say with golf, after a big putt, a big moment, to not have that reaction. Well, with Major League Baseball, they've decided they will use video game audio. And so you've got the various TV networks and the people who are responsible for the audio, for the atmosphere, guys who are responsible for producing, directing these broadcasts, and they are combing through various video game reaction that they can pump it. Now, obviously, we're not going to see it, but we're going to hear it, which might be just as odd to hear it, but know that it's fake. I have no idea. Try to process that too, and I'm coming up empty until I actually hear it. But yeah, they're going through various video game scenarios and various video game options, and they're coming up with this canned noise that they can use over their broadcast. I hope they don't end up with the fake fans. It'll be jarring enough, I think, to hear the audio when you know there's no one actually there. But to superimpose fans in the stands, I think will be, I don't know, disingenuous may be a strong word. But see what I mean? You're not going to be able to stay away, because just as I have no point of reference when I talk about it, or when you hear it talked about on another sports radio show or on TV, curiosity is going to get the best of you. You're going to want to know for yourself what it looks like, what it sounds like. Yeah, it's the novelty. If for no other reason, then everybody's talking about it, and you and I don't want to be left out. I mean, I have to do it for work, so, you know. If you would like to take our poll, it's still up there on social media, either on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. named after the show. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm interested to see the ratings. And I know weekday ratings for golf tournaments don't always tell the full story. You got to wait till you get to the weekend. But to have a Tiger Woods back on the course to have him featured, and of course he will be if he makes the weekend, and to have the cameras following him around, especially when you think about who his playing partners are. Golf Channel is where the rounds were located Thursday, and then of course they will be Friday. But on the weekend, it'll be interesting to see how many more eyeballs Tiger's presence draws to the tube. I've heard from a lot of you who are really interested. Let's see, other updates today. Well, we heard from NCAA President Mark Emmert, his statement about the return to sports and at least the initial guidelines. So we'll give you some analysis there. Myles Garrett speaks after signing his big extension with the Cleveland Browns and says it was never in doubt. Jacob DeGrom, apparently not in any danger of a long-term injury, at least according to him, and is looking forward to opening day. But straight ahead, a report from the Washington Redskins that details allegations of employees harassing other employees, of a workplace that was not welcoming and conducive to women feeling confident, women feeling like they could do their jobs without facing harassment. It's familiar, I will say that. Not something I haven't heard before, not something I haven't felt before. But 2020 is different. And now there's a firm that's been hired to look into workplace culture. There's a firm that's been hired to determine what changes need to be made. And maybe that includes changes at the top. It's nice that Ron Rivera walked into all of this with the Redskins. A name change. Sorry, I shouldn't call them that anymore. They're not the Redskins anymore. They are the football team in the nation's capital. The other team in the NFC East, Washington. Coach Ron Rivera, what did I say? You may not remember, but I know specifically what I said about him over and over. I don't know if they're going to have a playoff spot this year, but what I do know is the culture is going to change with Coach Rivera, and he's been handed a major project. So we'll get into some of the details, although you can read them for yourself on the Washington Post website, and I'll share a little bit of my perspective.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And here, the new head coach of the football team in Washington, I got to practice. He thought that it would be about football when he got hired. And then maybe Ron Rivera thought, okay, well, we'll throw the virus in there and it's going to have to be about health and safety. And it's not what I bargained for, what I signed up for. But, you know, everybody's on that same level playing field. Oh, well, why don't we throw in a couple more issues and hurdles, obstacles, challenges, we'll call them, for head coach Ron Rivera. First of all, they're about to change the name and the logo of the franchise, but a week and a half out of when training camp is supposed to begin, and they don't actually have a name or a logo. So that's one thing. He can't really do anything about it, only he has to wait like everybody else. And now along comes what many are calling a bombshell report by the Washington Post. Something else that Coach Rivera has to deal with. I will say this about Coach, though. If anybody can stand in front of a locker room full of young men and can lead them through this mire and muck, it's Coach Rivera. That I believe in. Not only can he speak to them as someone who is a minority, but he can also speak to them as someone who is about the discipline, is about accountability, is about doing things the right way, is about respect for your teammates as well as your coaching staff, as well as everybody else around you. This is a guy whose reputation is one of the high road. And even if it doesn't always come with wins, which generally it does, he's about not taking shortcuts. He's about players taking care of their business on and off the field, setting examples, working together as a team. And all of those things are necessary as he leads them forward. With the latest on top, this investigation into a culture that promoted, among other things, sexual misconduct. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Here's why I say what some would call a bombshell report, because I don't actually think it's a bombshell report. I wouldn't be surprised if there are female employees, former female employees at most of the NFL teams out there who could tell you similar stories. I put this on Twitter earlier just in response to a friend's post. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any woman over the age of 25, which I am. Any woman over the age of 25 in our business, meaning she was already in the industry pre the Me Too movement. So that is most of us. You'd be hard-pressed to find one who doesn't have stories similar to what are detailed in this Washington Post report. You'd be hard-pressed to find one who hasn't worked in a culture that has been, if not full of harassment and discrimination, at least it was an undertone. At least it was part of what she had to endure. And I say this from personal experience. I'm not bitter about it. I'm not angry about it. And I never plan on telling my story in a way like this. But when there are opportunities for me to share what it's been like and what I know a lot of my fellow women in this business have been through, I think it's important to do that. When young women who want to get into this business come to me and they ask me what it's been like, they ask me about my experiences, I tell them, I'm happy for you that you're coming along in this business in a time when sexual harassment is now considered taboo. And young women have a place where they can go to their human resources departments in most cases, and they will get backing and they will get support and they will have a listening ear and someone who isn't going to shluff it under the rug or tell them to get used to it. Or in my case, and many examples, but for the most part, this was how it went. You share it with someone who's a manager or a boss, and if it's someone who is at least sympathetic or maybe even empathetic to your complaint, I wouldn't term it as an accusation, but a complaint at times, what they would say to you is, here's the honest truth. If you speak up about this, you're likely the one who's going to get blackballed. You're likely the one who's going to lose your job. And it wasn't someone who was saying to me, keep your mouth shut or else. I mean, that happened too. But more often than not, it was, Aim, I understand what you're going through. I get it. You shouldn't have to. Just beware. If you speak up, you can't put that cat back in the bag. You can't not then be right in the center of this. You can't not be the name that's out there. And so, again, when young women come to me and they ask me, what should I do if this happens to me? How should I handle it? What was it like for you? I tell them, I don't think I necessarily handled it the right way. I don't think that I made the smart choice every time. When I was harassed, when there were inappropriate comments made to me, when I face sexual harassment, which happened everywhere I went. Inappropriate comments from male colleagues. The worst is when it was bosses. And what are you supposed to do then? What I eventually decided on, because I had worked so hard to get a foothold in this business, and I didn't want to lose it over something that wasn't my fault, I decided that unless I was in danger, I would find people outside my place of business that I could talk to, that I could complain to, that I could vent to. But otherwise, I would keep it to myself. You learn very quickly that you can't trust a lot of people at work. Work and personal, you got to kind of separate those things. You got to be careful who you talk to. So I would vent a lot to friends that weren't in the business. I would vent a lot to my mom. Sometimes I cried over it. It's not fair. Of course it's not fair. It sucks. And then I got really good at what I did, and I got higher up on the totem pole than a lot of people who are harassing me. And I wouldn't say I became untouchable. That's not true. No one's untouchable. But it got to the point where I didn't fear anymore losing my job because of making a complaint or speaking up about something that was inappropriate. And I've done it. I've done it since I've been here at this job. I got treated like a piece of gum on the bottom of someone's shoe after I made the complaint. And this is by my peers, not by my bosses or HR. For a while that happened, and it was hard and it sucked. And I felt like I'd been ostracized all over again. But you know what? The majority of my career, that's how it's been. As a female in this business, you're pretty much on your own. A lot of times you are isolated and ostracized. Unless, of course, people are making inappropriate comments. That's how it was earlier in my career. So I have accepted that I don't generally fit in. And I was willing to kind of take the heat from peers of mine because they felt like I tattled or I went to the bosses when I could have just come to them. So as I read this Redskins report, accusations of sexual harassment and verbal abuse, it's all too familiar. And I'm glad these women feel like they can come forward. But did you notice? Most of them are anonymous. Why do you think that is? Because there's backlash. Because once their names are out there, they become targets. That's just as bad. Social media, once their names are out on social media, I've seen it happen now throughout the Me Too movement when someone comes forward and tells her story. It's awful, the backlash. It's awful, the reaction. And so in this enlightened culture of ours, and yes, I am using my air quotations, social media, not so much enlightened. So these 15 women who previously worked for the Redskins organization, they've come forward with their accounts. Only one of them is named, to my understanding. And there have been multiple employees who've already either been fired or who have retired, including Larry Michael, who is the longtime play-by-play announcer that we've had on the show before. There are guys who are no longer with the team that are named. Daniel Snyder not accused, or his former GM, Bruce Allen, not accused of specific sexual harassment or inappropriate conduct, but the workplace culture definitely does start from the top down. There's no easy way, if you're a female and you've been in this situation, to navigate it. As I say, I'm not the model example. I'm not even sure I would change anything if I could go back, because my career would have been even more precarious if I had spoken up. And even now, I know many people choose to come forward with their stories of the past. I don't want to. I don't want to be the center of attention. I'm too far past it now. I wouldn't say it doesn't matter to me, but I've made peace with it. It's part of my story. It made me tougher. It made me smarter. It made me stronger. It made me better at my job. I hope it never happens to, you know, one of the young women that I mentor. But I do prepare them in case it does. And I'm glad that they now have a forum and an outlet. And most companies now will back them and will support them. But of course, this goes back. And I wouldn't be surprised if these types of stories came out from other sports organizations. The team in Washington, not the first, probably won't be the last. It's time the culture was cleaned up. It's time that sexual harassment and inappropriate comments and making women feel like they don't belong and they're only there because of what they look like or what they wear, not because of how they work or what they know, how determined they are, not valuing them for the qualities they bring to the table that make them good employees, treating them like they are their second-class citizens. I mean, all those things. That needs to be gone. It needs to be, it's no different than treating a African-American or a Hispanic or a minority differently and acting like they don't belong. It's the same kind of stuff. Discrimination is, well, we know what it is. It's hateful. It's harmful. It has no place in a corporate setting, in a corporate workplace, in a corporate office that includes sports. So if nothing else, at least we can clean it up there. We can't correct greater society. It'll never be a perfect society. We don't live in a utopia. That's not possible. But at least people who've engaged in it can now be called on the carpet and be held accountable. So for that, I'm glad. Again, this is not a unique situation. It's definitely not a unique story. And I hope these women, by telling their story, find some closure, some absolution. And I certainly hope that they've found jobs elsewhere that they love. I certainly have, which was my way of getting the last laugh.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning in to our final show of the work week. In fact, it's my final show until next Hump Show, believe it or not. I know you believe it. Because I don't lie about this. I mean, there are some things I've lied about. Oh my gosh, when I was a kid, I used to lie just because I could get away with it. Don't ask me why. I just knew that I was a masterful liar. And so sometimes I would lie just because. It was my way of being rebellious and sassy. My mom figured it out pretty quickly, though. It was more like a battle of wills. Anyway, then she read my diary, and I couldn't lie anymore, and I was grounded for all of my 7th and 8th grade years, and that was the end of that scam that I was running. So anyway, I don't lie about this, and I have to find some days to take off, and so my boss and I were talking about it, and he said take off a couple more days before baseball. And so I am going to do my first beach day of 2020 on Sunday. It's supposed to be 95 degrees, and that's not even heat index. Well over 100 degrees, the heat index on the Jersey Shore. And so I am looking forward to being at the beach. My friend and I are leaving before 7 o'clock, and we're going to get there as early as possible. And her idea is to go in the no swim zone because there are fewer people that will be in that area. And so we're going to set up, and we're taking a cooler and a couple of chairs, and we're going to stay as far away from people as we possibly can. And then if it gets busy, now she's more like a lobster. She tends to fry. So when it gets busy and she's frying, then we'll leave.
It's so damn hot.
It's going to be hot. Anyway, but I am looking forward to it, and going to be cautious and careful as always. But I can't wait to see the beach. The ocean is my happy place. And so that is something that I'm all jazzed up about. And then if it goes well, I'll probably go again one of those next 2 days I've got off. And so I won't be back with you until Tuesday night again. But do you know, then we'll be very close to the start of Major League Baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I just quickly want to give you the report from Ian Rappaport about the allegations for the Redskins and what they're doing now. This is what he had to say on NFL Total Access.
As far as the team goes, they have hired Beth Wilkinson of the firm Wilkinson Walsh, a lawyer, to conduct a thorough review of this organization, of the culture and employee conduct. Redskins saying in this article they take employee conduct very seriously, and this is someone whose law firm is going to take a very hard look at this. A couple other key factors from this article. First of all, neither owner Dan Snyder nor President Bruce Allen were implicated in any of these allegations from the Washington Post. However, there are several former employees who were implicated, who were alleged. First of all, Alex Santos and Richard Mann, the top two personnel executives in the Redskins, both have been fired after these allegations came to light. And then Larry Michael, the team's chief content officer and better known as the voice of the Washington Redskins, he very abruptly was allowed to retire, basically, in the past couple days when these allegations came up. Meanwhile, you have Kyle Smith, who's basically the new de facto boss of the football operation. You have Ron Rivera, who has final say there. Both of these men are now charged with creating a new culture, something that Rivera has been adamant about since he got hired. And one of the main things he said, he's quoted in the article, he wants everyone to judge the Redskins on what they do going forward as it pertains to the team's culture.
That I agree with. I think that Ron Rivera deserves every chance to establish his own culture. Again, one of excellence, one of discipline, one of accountability, one of teamwork, one of support for the guys around you, one in which this type of a workplace atmosphere would not be acceptable. And it's not exactly the same thing, but it's one way that I can identify when I hear people talking about racism. Yes, I am white, but I'm also a female, and I work in a male-dominated industry, which means I've faced discrimination, I've faced harassment, I've faced being treated differently for something that was beyond my control. I was born a female. What am I supposed to do about that? So, and I don't want to change it. I like being a female in this business, but in that manner, I can relate, and I do believe that Ron Rivera can as well. So here in 2020, where we have a supercharged atmosphere in our nation around so many things, but specifically a more heightened atmosphere when it comes to race relations, when it comes to treating people equally, when it comes to justice on a social level, regardless of the color of your skin, he can speak to that. And because of his background and because of his experience and the wisdom that he brings to the table, I believe that he's the right voice, not to mention his track record. I mean, his track record is one of an impeccable nature, one where guys know that he respects them. And because of that, because he speaks to them and he's honest and he's candid and he's upfront and he's respectful, they can hear what he has to say and not get defensive, but recognize that he's in a place where he has dealt with a lot of the very same things. So I don't believe that it was foresight by the franchise hiring Ron Rivera, not knowing, of course, all these things that were going to happen. And I don't really believe in luck, but I believe the timing is perfect for this particular situation and for Coach to take over in the nation's capital. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Next hour, really excited to welcome Scott Miller, national baseball writer and reporter for Bleacher Report, as well as MLB Network Radio. Scott's a frequent guest on the show, always has great insight. He's going to join us from Southern California. So in the past has covered the San Diego Padres. Don't know whether or not he's actually going to go to games this year, but he's going to join us and we'll talk about the latest in baseball, which is, among other things, the Nationals not necessarily having a place to play. Next week is the season opener for the World Series champ. So we'll get the latest with Scott. And again, he will join us inside of a half hour from now. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. And it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Wendell is in Washington, D.C. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Being in D.C., being a lifelong Washington professional football team fan, which is, to me, it pained me earlier to have to come to that realization. But the reality is now that the allegations, even of late, just further pile on to the insane dysfunction like that just surrounds the team. And honestly, it's hard for me to hold on. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm one of the fans that, from the name to the, and then your perspective on the allegations that were just presented were just definitely something that, as a fan that felt like, you know what, I would always support the team through whatever, I can't. And that's really where I'm at.
Well, can you support them moving forward, Wendell? Like, I agree with you. You know, I agree that there's a lot there to process. And I only have about 60 seconds left. But knowing that Ron Rivera could come up with a major change and that they do sound like they want to make changes, could that possibly change your perspective?
With a new name, not if the culture is the same. And it to the ultimate, and I know you got to go, it's Dan. And I hate to beat on Dan, but to be honest, when you're at the top, you take all the leadership, and I'll let you go. But thank you for having me on.
All right, Wendell, I appreciate your phone call in D.C. and your honesty, too. And I certainly understand it feels like a lot has been exposed. A bright, hot spotlight has been shined on the Redskins and, I'm sorry, on the team in D.C. And that's not a bad thing. It needs to be exposed. Now, here's one thing I will say, and this is in no way to excuse it at all. So please don't take it that way. But do you know how often people say to me, oh, the corruption in college football, paying players and illegal benefits, that's happening everywhere. It's just the schools that are getting caught that you're hearing about. I'm pretty confident that if you go back and shine the same white hot spotlight on most sports organizations, most sports media organizations, going back, say, 10, 15 years, you're likely to find a lot of the same things. What's important, we can't fix all of the harm that was done. It's impossible. What's important is that women feel like they can come forward. And it's also important to change it from now, from 2020. Let's just change it. Let's fix it.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.